Welcome to the Autism Roundtable. I'm Leah Gross, founder of Circle Care Services. I'll bring you autism experts from all kinds of fields for helpful parenting ideas, insights, and strategies. Tune in for learning and support and connection. Welcome, Amanda and Lita, to the Autism Roundtable. Thank you so much for joining. I would love for you to start by just explaining what your background is and what your connection to the autism community is.
Well, my name's Amanda. My background is I was diagnosed back in the Stone Age of autism diagnoses in the 80s. I got to go through a lot of the school and a lot of the private therapies that, you know, my generation really hates now. I grew up, had an amazing child. They went, "Hey, did you know she's autistic?" And I was like, "Yes, she's just like me. We're good." We did run into a few of the old-fashioned therapies for her that we pulled her out of extremely quickly because I was like, I know what it did to me. I didn't want it to do it to her. I was every therapist's worst nightmare because anytime they'd go towards that old-fashioned stuff, I'd be like, nope, I can tell you that doesn't work. Let's come back newer.
Been there, done and, that.
Yeah, and showed up with the papers, and they're like, wait, you can read papers?
It's amazing.
Lita is an amazing tap dancer. She works with a international youth tap dance company based out of LA called Soul Talk, run by Chloe Arnold. If your listeners know anything about tap, they know who Chloe is. She choreographed Spirited, the musical the movie a few years back with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell.
Wow.
And Lita's giving me a look. She's like, Miss Chloe is not famous. She actually is, crazily enough. Lita has known Chloe since she was little, so she doesn't see her as.
Famous people don't try to die. Also, famous people actually read their contracts.
So she knows people that don't
and
do that.
Tells their manager.
I love that. That's really cool that, you know, as a mom, you have encouraged her to really get out there in the world and show off her talent and really tap into her talent. And to the point that you don't think they're cool, because I think they're cool.
Yeah. So because of that, she had a weird childhood because on one hand, she had dance studio owners and dance teachers who didn't understand autism, who were fighting us every step of the way going, she can never do this. But on the other hand, she was dancing with, you know, the pros.
At least I know what an animal is. Also, at least I know what a dog acts like.
She had a couple issues with dance teachers who tried to do zoology and didn't actually study it. And you know how autistic
one
kids are.
One of them for the silverback gorilla was just a really, really old gorilla. They thought gorillas were like trees. Also, they thought gorillas didn't have more than one mate.
So yeah, she has definitely been allowed to live her authentic self, if you can't tell.
And I love that. I think that's so amazing that you've embraced her for who she is and encourage it, because that's amazing. And coming from your background, I'm sure you have really important and awesome insight into the best way to raise a neurodivergent child.
Well, and as I mentioned, because of her studio issues, I mentioned to you when we talked previously, we started an entire nonprofit dance company because of her recently.
Tell us a little bit about that. That's awesome.
Do you want to take that one or she's like you. So because all the dance studio owners and dance teachers, and she will disagree with me because she's a teenager and she has the same opinion about them as I have about some of my former therapists. They didn't understand what they didn't know, but they had huge hearts and they're like, we'll bring her in. We'll work with her. But because they didn't understand autism, they were at, and anytime I would go up and try to explain stuff, they would go, oh, no, and you don't understand. And she would just hate them more and more and more every week. And I'm like, I can't help you if you won't let me help you. She finally got to the point at the same time I got to the point. We were like, we are done with this. Might as well create our own thing. We started we, you know, a nonprofit takes forever. So we actually filed the paperwork last March, managed to get qualified as 501c3 in record time. I do not know what the IRS was thinking. The estimate we were given was wait till November and you'll have your qualification. 8-10 days later, I had the letter in the mail.
Wow, that's amazing.
We, you know, started trying to fundraise, trying to find spots, all that fun jazz. We opened in September. We are now at maximum capacity where we're at.
Wow. Ignoring
the obvious things that everyone would do if you're in the community, our class sizes run between 1 to 4 students because you cannot have more than 4 neurodivergent kids in a class. It just kind of maxes out there.
Yeah.
We came up with a dance studio IEP.
Okay, I like that. And what does that look like?
It took all the good parts about the IEP that I like about the IEP, got rid of the bad parts, and we're asking things the neurotypical studio doesn't think of.
And I had to remind this person to put allergies on there and extra issues because apparently this person who has allergies and issues of textures of fabric forgot. Apparently she forgot. Apparently she spaced allergies even though she has a lot of allergies.
There was, I mean, I was taking something meant for public school setting and trying to bring it in. But neurotypical studios aren't thinking about asking, what exactly is your autism? Because you know this, autism comes with auditory processing disorders. It comes with speech delays. Every speech delay is not the same. Lita has dyslexia. Dyslexia is, you know, a long list of things. It's not just one thing. And it was like, we need to know, if you're okay with it, parents, exactly what your child is diagnosed with, exactly what their therapists are doing, exactly how they're working with it. We've got some amazing OTs and SLPs and PTs that I can go to if I see something I haven't seen before, which has happened once or twice, going, hi, I've never seen this diagnosis. Tell me about it. How are we supposed to work with it in the studio? And we are training our teachers how to work with those issues.
Wow. Okay, so how would you say your studio looks different than a typical dance studio? Like, besides for the small classes, I'm sure there are other things that you incorporate into your studio that makes your studio so successful.
We actually make dads fun and realize, oh yeah, when they're teenagers, they don't really care about now jumping the square, now do a wheel, hula hoop, with a hula hoop, now play with the little stuffies, even though you're like 15, 16, 18, going on 19, and probably getting your own house.
Having a lot of the dance studio owners and dance teachers, they've come up through dance, but
they literally don't do toddler games for teenagers after they're done going, why aren't we playing this game? It looks so fun.
But there is, because we have the experts, and the experts know children, we have a better understanding of what they need to do. And so it sounds weird. All of our students are learning the exact same things. It's not adaptive dance, which is hard to explain to people because adaptive dance dumbs down dance. Like, you're not ever going to be able to learn it. And we are still teaching. We've got level 3 ASD kids that can plie. They know first, second, third position. May not know their colors yet. That's not on me. Congratulations, therapist. That's a you job. But their therapists are calling up going, how are they speaking? It's silly, but it is more individualized. It's not like you have to fit this one box. And not fitting that one box and how you teach. And there are days like we have one amazing level 3 dancer that when he started, he couldn't really walk that well. The idea of balance was iffy. You've had those patients. And his mom says, I can say this. So I have got her permission. He is now saying small sentences. His therapy group and his medical team never thought he would say small sentences. But because it's one-on-one, because he needed one-on-one, that's helpful. He also, last week, he was having a little bit of oversensory because not only had he been in therapy all day, he had to go to the doctor's office. He doesn't normally go to the doctor's office before class. And then we went out here in Colorado from 68 degrees to snowing in one day. And his parents were like, I am so sorry. He's like a little overwhelmed. And our amazing teacher in that class was like, I have to deal with our president. Do not. She's like, I've got this. Just let him be. There's a lot more telling. Yeah, I'm CEO and president. She's like, it's required in the state law that we have to have a president / CEO to run the place because we're a nonprofit.
Wow. So you wear a lot of hats.
Yeah. But she's just going over. Lita. Right. Shush. Let me finish. We have a lot of having to, and it sounds weird if you're not in the community, a lot of telling parents, this is a judgment-free zone. No one is going to blame you for your child doing normal autistic things. You don't get that in a neurotypical studio. We've had kids who are stimming and their parents are trying to say, stop stimming. And we're sitting there going, let them stim. But that's not what, you know, people want. And it's like,
so tell me a little bit about that. As someone who understands stimming, why would you tell them not to stop the child from stimming?
Stimming is so important. I mean, we're finally starting to research it, which I think we're all very grateful we're researching it now. But it releases stress. It helps you even concentrate a lot of times. If you're not stimming, sometimes you're so worried about not stimming that you're more concentrated on the not stimming than listening to class. Lita went through that in traditional studios. Most, you want to take that?
In my defense, why would you go blah, 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 blah? This is not your school, but yet we're talking about science, and I'm not even doing science right, or English right, or history right, or mythological history right, and this isn't even school. This is literally dance class where we're supposed to be dancing, and I'm going blah, 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 blah. Back in my day, let me just dump my whole life on you like you're my diary books. Yeah,
okay,
it's a
you
dance
good?
Class, not, oh, let me just do therapy and make my students the therapist.
A lot of dance teachers spend so much time in the studio, they don't have adults.
I should be a certified therapist at this point. I've had so many dance teachers from neurotypical studios dump their trauma on me and the rest of the class. I should be a certified therapist.
Love that.
They don't have, because the evening is when, you know, we're usually talking to adults outside of a work situation and they're all busy with dancers. They tend to treat the dancers like they're their adult friends sometimes. But stimming, you know, it's not, as long as it's not hurting the child, it shouldn't be stopped because it is so, it's soothing. It helps you concentrate. It does all that, and it's not really bothering anyone most of the time.
Why do we feel a need to say stop? Why can't they just be themselves, is what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I'm doing a very bad job of
I'm understanding. And you had mentioned in our previous talk that like it gives them happiness, sort of. You're feeling a satiation of something that you're seeking, so maybe let them get that.
Yeah, and the younger they are, the more likely they are to stim when they're happy. And what you don't know is stimming. Like, we've got running around in circles is a very common stim when you're a preschooler or even an early elementary schooler. And it's what you do when you're happy. And if you keep telling them don't do that, they're not necessarily hearing don't stim. They're hearing don't be happy.
Yeah, only one on that one. You have to make sure they don't fall and hit their head. Well, they have to do it around a pile of rocks or glass. My sharp things.
Stay safe, okay. Pretty much.
Yeah, just basically put them in bubble wrap when they do that.
If they're doing something that could cause them harm when they're stimming, maybe we redirect then. But it needs to be redirect, not yelling.
Wow.
But I am preaching to the choir here probably on this.
Yeah, but you know what? It's important for parents to hear. Like, I think that you come with a very interesting perspective in that you have that diagnosis of autism, and you could really understand and children on the spectrum in a very different way than neurotypical parents could understand. So as somebody that's on the spectrum, what sort of advice would you give to parents that are raising children on the spectrum, that like when you watch them raise their children and you say, I wish I could tell you this, what would it be?
Your child is pretty perfect the way they are. You don't need to be listening to all those people who are judging you. And I mean, I think this goes for neurotypical parents as well. As long as the child's not doing anything harmful, as long as the child's not like stealing or that sort of stuff, quit letting everyone tell you what your child's supposed to be. You are, especially as an autistic parent, their stimming isn't because you're not disciplining them enough. They're, you know, Lita has an autoprocessory disorder. Her not listening to you because her ears aren't working is not because you're not disciplining the child enough. Just because your child's dyslexic doesn't mean you're not disciplining your child enough. Just because they have meltdowns doesn't mean you're not disciplining your child enough.
Okay, so basically on that one is, if you're doing anything autistic, it's not because you're not disciplining them enough. And I don't know what in your brain is not disciplining enough. And I am concerned. I am concerned about you being around children.
The 13-year-old has no filter on this one.
Okay, one day Lita is going to be an amazing parent too.
Oh, yeah. Right? I know it's hard, but quit letting everyone judge you and make you feel like you're a less than parent just because your child's autistic. It doesn't matter. I know I've done advocacy work in the school systems, and the number of teachers who are like, well, if you would just teach them or be a better parent. And it's like, oh, nice to know. Where's your degree in autism therapies?
Right. And the compassion and the understanding is lacking.
Yeah, because you rarely hear this from a private speech therapist. You rarely hear this from a private OT. You aren't hearing this from your good doctors of, oh, well, if you would just discipline them enough, they'd stop acting autistic.
No, that's not how it works. Right? That's the keep on disciplining. That's not what's going to help, but rather meeting them at their level and really looking at their talents and drawing that out, which as a parent seems like you've done an amazing job with. Touching on Lita's ability to dance and bringing her from, you know, level to level. So tell us a little bit about that journey of discovering that she would be a great dancer and taking her to meet all these amazing dancers and getting her involved in that world. How did that work? So,
she's laughing. That was all on a PT, because physical therapists can be your best friends. We all know our therapists can be our best friends. She has a deformed right hip because she popped it out of joint when she was a baby. And
were anyone thinking it? No, not because of the autism. I know some of you are thinking it. I know it. I've had multiple dance teachers thinking it. I know it.
She's actually had dance teachers who say it's because of the autism. And while she had a doctor who claimed it was because of the autism on the insurance, you'll laugh at this one, Leah. The doctor was like, they're not approving PT. Oh, she's autistic. Her hip problem is due to her autism. They approved it in 30 minutes. And her doctor's like, I don't see a problem here. Do you see?
Wow, that's such an interesting theory right there.
Sometimes the best doctors will do what they have to get
insurance
the
is
services.
Stupid. None of them have brains. Pretty sure they all just went to work at insurance because they couldn't get any other job. Insurance is stupid.
Insurance is a lot of red tape. I would have to agree with you on that. And we need to sort of like just use the right words in order to get what we need when it comes to insurance. Well, yes.
And that's, since she's TRICARE will open up the purse strings if it's autistic. They'll kind of complain if it's not. And her doctor was like, fine, then it's autistic. But she has had dance teachers go, oh, is this because you're autistic? And she's like, I didn't know my hip bones were specifically autistic. But her PT was looking at her and going, her stim is a complicated three-point tap move. She's never had tap dance before, and she's doing complicated moves. We put her in a neurotypical class because your options are either autistic classes, which she didn't qualify for because she was nonverbal, but they would let her into the neurotypical class being iffy on her verbal. Within a few months, she started speaking. Within a few months, they also looked at me and went, she can't be in the age appropriate class. She needs to be up with the middle schoolers and high schoolers. So my previously nonverbal, non-receptive, non-expressive, as far as we knew, child was learning her language skills with a bunch of preteens and middle schoolers.
Wow.
I don't highly suggest that if you want the cute baby stage.
Wow. But she was so advanced in the tapping that she needed to be with the older group.
Yeah, she went from not tapping at all to intermediate tap within 2 years.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's supposed to take 3 to 5 years. So sometimes she does get annoyed because she's like, I don't have my basics down because you guys pushed me up too fast. But
yes, and I keep getting my mentor saying I don't know some basics even though I don't know some basics at all because it was 6, 7, 2 years into this. So hey, let's just throw you in the soul talk. I'm still mad about that one.
She's not mad. She just autistic mad there, which is sometimes different. When she was 8, COVID happened. And within 2 weeks, one of my old mentors was like, she is not doing well now that you've taken tap from her. You need to get her doing something. I know this online program that's going on by Chloe Ahmad Arnold. Get her involved. My child, who had picked up a pair of tap shoes less than 2 years beforehand, went to the weekend on Zoom, which is always fun when you're neurotypical. Having the neurodiverse kid on Zoom for 2 years was fun. And she was picked up that weekend by Chloe and Maude, and they have been mentoring her ever since COVID. So for her, COVID was a great thing.
I've heard that before from other parents, that COVID was, yeah, a good thing being in your own home environment.
And it also gave her, we would have never put her in front at that level until she was like 12 or 13. But because it was the only way for her to get her tap, we went ahead and did it at 8. And she spent almost a weekend a month with Chloe, Maude, and the best tap dancers in the world.
Wow.
On Zoom. By the time she was 9, she had joined their international tap dance company.
Wow.
I got tricked.
You're quite cool.
She did kind of trick. The idea
I trust my mother.
We told her, well, if you audition, you're probably not going to make it because it's for the best of the best. And don't worry, this is just to get auditions
that
under your belt.
That was a flat out freaking, oh, hey, the dinosaur is still alive lie.
Turned out it was a lie. But, you know, every now and then your parents lie to you, right?
For positive reasons only.
Honestly, even the mentorship that she had was like, no, let's do it this year. And then they're like, no, Lita's good enough. Let's go now. Let's put her on now.
Wow. That's amazing.
And so by time COVID or the world opened back up, she was already working with these amazing mentors in Hollywood and LA. She got tricked. She's going to stay on that for a while. Like the rest of her life. She'll be 90 and talking about being tricked.
Yes, because I am still annoyed.
Got tricked. But then we went back into the real world and the dance studios were like, well, she can't be good enough to work with them because she's autistic. And she had a lot of dance teachers who would go, well, you know, if you ever want, they would sit there and go, if you want to audition for them, if you want to be in their master class. And she's sitting there going, I've been to their house. And since it was Zoom so long, they've seen inside my house.
Exactly.
And she did. She had so many teachers who were like, you can't, you're autistic. You will never be able to work with them, which not only was harmful to her, but her mentors put her on their Instagram. They put her on their Facebook. They're out there cheering for her louder sometimes than I am. They are teachers that every neurotypical tap dancer would give their like left foot to dance with.
They also somehow embarrass me better than my father, even though my father says it's his old job as my father is to A, keep boys away from me and or any boy that makes advances on me, and B, embarrass me. Don't get the boy part still.
And her mentors will also help keep boys away from her. But it's difficult. And this, I don't think some of the neurotypical teachers were hearing, was the neurotypical teachers were saying things behind Lita's back, like, because Lita's voice dropped later. Oh, she must be a baby. She must not have the mental capacity you have. She must be stuck back at a toddler. She can't read. So she must be really stupid because she seems to think her dyslexia means she can't read. You're saying all these things. You're calling her baby. You're calling her not good enough. And then these kids who idolize who Lita's working with are going onto social media and seeing these people calling out Lita. It's hard on the neurotypical kids because then they're not getting it. What is wrong with me if I'm supposedly not broken like she is and I'm not getting the same attention?
Very, very bad messaging right there. Exactly. And I if only they could spin it the other way. And like you've said earlier in the podcast, that like, if we just accept who we are and see everyone as the amazing people that they are and their amazing talents and stop putting labels, we would be in a much better place.
I mean, labels are obviously necessary for some things. Because she's had a lot of dance teachers who are like, oh, I just don't see disability, so we're not going to ask
bad
you about...
Yeah, bad hips, still a thing. And bad hip means bad back and bad back means just pain. But at least I'm like them. I'm not whining a little brat that's like, oh, I'm in pain, I won't dance. And I'm over here going like, I back's in pain 24/7, even when I fall asleep. And my hips in pain 24/7, even when I fall to sleep. Even laying in bed does not help my back not be in pain. I'm not one you brat like you.
She has had teachers say, well, I'm sure we could just fit. If you don't see it as a limitation, then your hip will function normally.
Wow.
So the labels are kind of semi-necessarily, and the limitations do exist, but you have to be creative enough to go around the limitations.
Right, and fit them into your own box and be the best advocate for your child, which it really seems like you've been.
Thanks. I think I just am trying to give her what we never had in the 80s and 90s.
Right. Wow. That is fabulous. Okay. You mentioned that you are a military mom. Tell us a little bit. Well, you mentioned TRICARE, and that means military mom. Tell us a little bit about being a military mom with a child on the spectrum and... maybe give us some insight into the things that are available for you and how the community supports you.
Probably the problem my husband had is that I had been doing it for dealing with it at congressional levels because I've worked politics for a while. And a bunch of congressmen are like, you know how to cut through TRICARE red tape. I've got a child. It's at my office. Cut through the tape for me. So by the time we had her, I knew what his commanders were supposed to do and what they weren't doing. And then he'd heard me talk so much. Usually, she's EFMP, which is the Exceptional Family Member Program. She's also one of the first ECHO kids, which is the Enhanced Healthcare something. I can't remember what this CN or rest of it is. But it was a program designed to see if we could over being used in quotation marks here, give too many therapies to these kids and see what would happen if they had like speech 5 days a week. I know, odd idea to have speech 5 days a week, right? And that was, but he got her EFMP approved in less than 72 hours. It usually takes, months.
Yeah, how do you do that? That's very cool.
he Googled the timeline because he's also autistic. And he's like, well, I need to know how I'm doing this. And he's like, oh, I'm not running back and forth. And he called everyone and went, where's your time? We're all going to sit down at a table and I'm going to pass the paperwork back and forth to each one of you at a table. And it took him about 72 hours to get everyone in the same room. But, you know.
Wow. Wow.
It turns out, because I was like, you can't do it in less than a week. And he's like, watch me.
Wow.
But there's a lot of things people don't understand in TRICARE. And it starts with, you have to probably know more than the medical team on what TRICARE offers. If you are diagnosed in the schools or by a general prac, TRICARE does not consider it a full diagnosis.
Wow.
You have to be diagnosed by a behavioral shrink, a developmental pediatrician, or a pediatric neurologist. Once you get one of those three to diagnose it, they will not deny any services.
Okay, so get your diagnosis from the right person, and then you have then you'll be able to access all services needed.
Yeah, and you may have to tell your general prac, because TRICARE is kind of going, oh no, get it done this way, but they consider it a self-diagnosis if your general practitioner diagnoses your child.
If you're a regular practitioner,
if you're a regular practitioner, they consider it you self-diagnosing your child.
Wow.
Don't ask that one to make sense.
No.
Because last I checked, I was not any of her pediatricians. But if you get the full diagnosis, you get unlimited speech therapy, unlimited occupational therapy, unlimited physical therapy, if you need to go in for any medical issue, and the pediatric neurologist, the developmental peds, and the behavioral shrinks that work with TRICARE all know this. If it comes from them, it's approved. Like, she was having problems getting into an allergist. Her developmental ped went, hi, as a developmental pediatrician, I said it's happening. It was approved in 2 hours.
Wow. Wow. So you have to know how to work the system.
You do. And there is a hierarchy in medicine, just like there is everywhere else. And the neurologist and behavioral shrinks and the developmental peds are gods. We all know they think they're gods. The insurance doesn't want to deal with them.
Wow. Got to get one of those on your side, and then you could access whatever you need.
Yeah, and if you can't get one, go for the next and the next. If you are near an Army installation, the behavioral psychiatrists that deal with the TBIs can also diagnose autism.
Oh, that's good info.
They usually have, all the Army installations usually have a really great behavioral psychiatry office, but you have to get over there and you have to tell, for some reason, they haven't told the pediatricians on basis and post this exist. I'm thinking, you know, I'm sure behavioral psychiatrists, they're a little, I love all the my friends who are them, but they think they're kind of above all the general practitioners.
They're proud of where have they gotten to.
And they should be, as much schooling as they went through.
Yeah, yeah, not easy.
But once you get that, once you get to that level, it's all mostly easy sailing. If you are EFMP, your active duty sponsor's command is supposed to check on the active duty member once a month and the entire family once a quarter, and they are supposed to have a plan on how they are going to help you. Most did not know they were supposed to do that.
So you have to advocate for what you deserve.
You do. And you have to, as a spouse, you can't go up and do it. But you can poke your active duty member to go do it, because they're all like, well, I don't want to go bug my commander. Yes, you do, if you like your commander, because when something goes wrong, in the unfortunate event it does, and it gets to someone like mine's desk, I'm going after your commander's job. It is in the regulations that they're supposed to do this. And by the time it gets to me, I'm not happy.
I hear that. And okay, now how prevalent is autism within the military community?
The actual diagnosed, and that is fully diagnosed, go to the specialist diagnosed within TRICARE. I checked again this morning to see if we've changed it. We have not. It's 3 out of every 5 children in the military have autism.
Wow. And that's a lot more than I would say in the regular one. Like, I think 1 in 36 is, right, is a statistic now.
It's still 1 in 36 in the regular world. And the Defense Health Agency is still convinced we are underdiagnosing in the military.
And why would you say that is? Any ideas, guesses?
So as to why it's so high, we finally are allowing active duty and reservists to be openly ADHD and openly autistic. And there's a backlog right now of people, adult men and women, getting their diagnoses.
Wow.
Lita, do you want to take why you think the military has too many, well, not too many, but has so many autistic
kids? Also, have you seen my father? I was doomed to be autistic. Have you seen my father when he is near rocks or anything? He is very much just cyber-focused. You know? Have you seen Dad near rocks? Have you seen my father? I know you have seen Dad near rocks. Magnet, I was doomed to be autistic from the start.
So if you've been keeping up with the papers on autism and the belief that it's hereditary and everything, which I think we all are leaning that direction, the military, it seems, because it has structure and it has, this is exactly, and if you're going to mask, it tells you exactly how to mask. And so it seems that it has been attracting the neurodiverse into the military for years.
Because of the structure, you feel like the neurodiverse do well with that. So they end up in the military and they're great at serving. So it really.
Yeah. Everyone I know who's gotten out really quickly, like after their first contract, has all been neurotypical. And they're like, I just don't fit here.
You could just say the magnet don't work.
She's convinced that the military just is a magnet for the neurodiverse community.
You realize how magnets work, right? I know you know how magnets work. I know you know. I know you know. I know you know. You are my mother. I know you know. I know you know. I know you know.
I love your sense of humor, Lita. You are awesome. So it's just a, there's a magnetic pull because it really fits with how the autistic brain works.
Does. And previously they had allowed you to serve as long as you didn't have the label. You could be on Ritalin, you could be on Adderall, you could be on any of the newer meds. I don't know, that sounds like you're letting neurodiverse people serve.
Okay, sounds good. And it seems like it's a nice community. Where are you located?
We're in Colorado Springs right now.
Wow. Is that a nice community?
She has spent most of her life and my husband's career down in Las Cruces, New Mexico. So she's like, why is it not home?
Oh, wow. So 1 second. As a military family, are you constantly on the move or are you like in the same place for a while? How does that work?
But usually in one place for like 3 years, and this is the first time we're not going to be in one place for 3 years, and this is wrong. 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 No animal is meant to be in this place for this long.
We usually move every 2 to 3 years. However, this time we're probably sitting for 6 years.
This is wrong.
This is wrong. You like moving so often?
Gosh. I should blame my mother's influence's DNA for that.
She has it needs to move every 3 years. But people don't like being in Las Cruces, New Mexico because of whatever reason. And so my husband's got it on his deal. I will go to Las Cruces for anything. And anytime they can get him down there, the military's like, oh, you're not going to complain? It's a smaller community, it's high desert, and it's right on the border, and
white sands. And all friends. And all points.
You found nice friends there.
She did find nice friends. And White Sands National Park now is down there, so you can go sledding on the sand dunes just on a whim.
And coyotes.
Wow, that is really awesome.
But a lot of people don't like it. Is while El Paso, Juarez, and Las Cruces together are a huge metropolitan, it's over 2 million people in that metropolitan area. People down there don't act like they're in a huge metropolitan. They act like it is still a little itty bitty spot out there. And it's like, guys, you've grown a little bit. But
one leg Las Cruces. The only people I think that one leg Las Cruces is save people.
That's the thing.
It people takes... in the part of Texas that say they're Texans, but nobody in Texas says they're Texans.
Houston and Austin, anyone? It's far enough away where, you know, you're driving 8 hours to get to Dallas. You're driving, you know, 12 hours to get to Houston. And people are like, oh, this is too far out. I get it. For a lot of people, that's too far out.
So we're talking city people.
Which is weird because El Paso, Juarez, and Las Cruces together are over 2 million. It's just like, and with all the suburbs and everything. But so she considers Las Cruces home. But Colorado Springs is a great community. It is very, it used to have a few years back pre-COVID, everything pre-COVID was somewhat cooler. It had a vibrant Asperger's and a vibrant autism community, but that all went away during COVID.
Wow.
Her age group has never experienced this sort of stuff. And it's like, and all those parents, most of them are coming from the neurotypical community and they didn't know this existed.
Wow. Wow. Very cool. Okay, now you touched on dyslexia a little bit. I would love to hear how that affects Lita and how it affects her dancing.
Do you want to take that or do you want me to be scientifically boring?
Wait till that hurts. That's all I get. As a pair, like, she got the good instinct and I got the bad instinct and she got the easy part of the stick.
It is definitely a spectrum, just like autism. I don't
you
think people...
You got the easy part of the stick. I got the hard part of the stick. You got the easy, soft part of the stick, and I got the hardest rock stick.
She is right. On the dyslexia, I definitely got the easy, not severe, not even moderate dyslexia. I'll admit, I got the easy end of the stick there. Dyslexia is more than about reading, which I don't think a lot of dance teachers understood. It is about eye tracking. It's about processing what your eye is seeing. It's about understanding the...
My eyes lied to me a lot. I also bump into walls. A lot. I try not to bump into walls. I bump into walls. And people. And my dogs. And stuff. And step on stuff. My eyes hate me.
Your
eyes.
You
got the easy and the stick.
So in dance, if you're dyslexic, if you worked with dyslexics, you know how the eyes don't, I mean, you don't personally know because that's the only thing you've known if you're dyslexic, but your eyes just do not process right. But what they do is like her dyslexia also comes with an eye tracking issue. She tracks right to left, top or bottom to top, which is fun. When your dance teachers are trying to teach you to track left to right by keeping a single spot on the wall when you're pirouetting or when you're doing leaps or any other turns, and she's coming out of the dance studio with migraine, she's coming out of the dance studio completely dizzy because her eyes aren't processing it right, and they're like, I just don't understand. I'm teaching her the way we should be teaching her. Why is she not understanding what I'm trying to teach her? The other thing people do not understand outside the dance world is you would think dance would have no reading or writing involved. It has a lot of reading and writing involved. And when I'm telling teachers she can't read, she can't write, they're like, but she's so amazingly well-versed now. I don't believe someone as smart as her can't read or write. It has nothing to do with your intelligence level. It has everything to do with your dyslexia. And like with ballet, there are a lot of studios that you have to take a written test in order to go up to the next level.
Okay, I thought this was dance, not... Oh, hey, this is school. Yeah, I thought this was Ever Love and Dance. Wasn't this supposed to be Ever Love and Dance? Last time I checked, it said dance class and not, oh, hey, you just came out of school. Let's go back into school. Last time I checked, this was dance. Dance. Body. Dance. Dance. None that has to do with reading. Dance. Are these people stupid? Or do they have any brains? How do they function? How do they function with no brains pumping their hearts or their lungs or making sure the kidneys work? Like, it's, seriously, are they zombies? Are they zombies? They seem to have the intelligence level of a zombie.
This, yeah, is what, this is what happens when you, because she would be called out in front of everyone and said, you told she has to read in front of the entire dance class. And then if she couldn't get it, the dance teachers would say things like, you're lazy, you're stupid, you're not smart. You are about a 3-year-old. And reading?
Yes. Yet they asked me about how I felt about learning to drive when I was 8.
Okay.
Seriously, you can't call me a 3-year-old if you think I'm gonna go learn how to drive even though I'm 8. Also, it wasn't because of the level of dance I was doing. It's because I hanged around your friend group too much. And I have you in that for parents.
I should explain that one. She had a lot of dance teachers who would come to me going, when she was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, well, not 12, because we'd pulled you out by then, going, hi, why is Lita not worried about her driver's test? Why isn't she worried about taking her SATs? And I'm like, friendly reminder, you know she's younger than the rest of your class, right? Well, everyone else is worried about prom. I don't want my...
A few of them wondered why I didn't have a boyfriend.
They, because she was with the older kids, and she is autistic, they just assumed this was her being, you know, because people think of autistic as you're not as mature as your friend group. And so they're like, well, but see how immature she is? I'm like, yeah, but she's still 8, and you're comparing her to your 16, 17, 18-year-olds.
I can like My Little Pony if I want to like My Little Pony.
But a lot of her dance teachers, back to the dyslexia, they were like, but it shouldn't affect how she reads. Which I was like, that's
the definition of dyslexia.
She also has dysgraphia and dyscalculia. They're like, why is math hard for her? She has dyscalculia. Well, what is dyscalculia? Well, let me explain. And they're like, well, it couldn't affect your math skills. It's, but they did a lot of Googling, and the papers are not at the top. It's all the, Dr. Google does not give you good diagnoses.
So explain this a little bit, how dyscalculia and affects Lita.
So,
I can't read numbers.
Oh, that's a good answer right there.
That's also between the dyscalculia, the dysgraphia, and the dyslexia. She can't read numbers. She gets, you know, things messed up in her head for whether she should be adding, subtracting, multiplying, and all that stuff. And it sounds weird because I have my PhD in theoretical physics. I have a lot of friends who have their PhDs in theoretical physics who have dyscalculia.
Wow.
Because it tends to be more towards your arithmetic, and arithmetic's not math. At least when you get up to my level, we're like, yeah, you can grab a calculator for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's had it long enough, she will grab a calculator. If you ask her to do simple math, she's like, let me grab my calculator. And they're like, no, you need to be able to do it in your head.
Wow.
It can also mess with counts in dance sometimes, which I don't think she's noticed as much as I've noticed it. When the teachers are like 5, 6, 7, 8, between her auto processory and the dyscalculia and everything, sometimes she can't remember where it was in that count.
Okay, at least I actually know the beat of the music. At least I actually know the beat of the music. At least I know the beat of the music. It's not what they're counting. It is not. At least I actually know the beat of the music. At least I actually dance to the beat of the music. At least I know where the beat of the music is.
I was going to just ask you that. How do you compensate? But I'm understanding that you compensate via the beat of the music. Is that how you compensate?
So the count is not necessarily the beat of the music. The count is normally where the choreographer wants the steps, but that's not necessarily because it can only be an eight count in dance. So if you have a 1/3/4, if you have a 8/16, the beat of the music doesn't mesh with the count of the dance, which sounds really crazy when you're like, hi, did you guys ever get your metronome out to like actually see it? And they're like, no. And I'm like, this is why everyone else thinks you're but as you can tell, because I had a lot of dance teachers tell me, well, what we're doing is not affecting her. It's not going to cause long lasting emotions with her. I don't think they understand how lasting of an impression what an adult does to you.
They're good. I'm also violent.
She's not violent. She's had a lot of dance teachers because she's like, I hate your guts. They're like, you must be violent. Because girls are held to a higher standard than boys.
That's for sure. And also, I think we see in the autism community a bigger percentage of males than females. So it's interesting to hear that you feel like they are held to a higher standard.
When she was diagnosed, we were living on the Space Coast of Florida, and she was in school at that point in time at a Montessori school, which is, you know, a little different than public school. And her teacher was like, let's go get her early services. And I'm like, nope, we're going to get them to say she's not getting early services. That's what we're doing. So I can go private. We walked in and I was telling her teacher, do not react. Whatever they say, just calm, cool, collected, because I'm mom. I need to not be dealing with you. We sit down and she's like, yeah, Lita doesn't understand a word I'm saying. I need help to get her to understand. I just need her to go to the restroom before we go out to recess, and then she can go have fun with the rest of the class. Instead, she's melting down, and you could see her teacher desperately wanted to know how to talk to her. And they went, oh, you didn't tell us that she was aggressive. And I'm looking at her teacher, and we get out, and I'm like, you do understand with girls having meltdowns, a lot of people consider that aggression.
Wow, that's an unfair standard.
It is. And the teacher was looking at me going, I have a boy in class who they work with, who they won't label as aggressive, and he's throwing toys at students. That's not aggressive. I'm like, it's a double standard. Girls are supposed to be able to handle ourselves, handle our emotion, and mask like there's no tomorrow.
Wow. Where's Lita in school now?
She's homeschooled. It was easier. We put her in private school when we moved to New Mexico. There were some other issues with that. And we were doing everything on our own. And her dad was like, you know, we're spending 4 hours after school a day teaching her. Let's just homeschool her. Because she's homeschooled, I can give her audiobooks versus, you know, books she has to read. We can get text. And, you know, there's that dyslexia fonts now that are much easier to read. I can go make sure her textbooks have that if she needs to read it.
Wow. And then socially, you don't feel like it's impacting her because she has the dance school. And I know you run your own podcast as well, right?
Yeah, she has her own podcast. She is doing really good. She can help interview, you know, experts with PhDs and stuff. It may be affecting her because she is, you know, talking to experts in the field on a regular basis. So she kind of, but I'm not sure that's a bad thing. She also, you know, we're at the studio. She's founder. She's actually coming to all the board meetings. She comes to all the business meetings.
I get paid in candy.
I love that. Good for you.
There's so much. Like, we have a homeschool program at the studio where we have daytime classes for kids who are homeschooled. I know for us, it also opened up a lot more therapy times because going, hey, she's homeschooled, we could get the morning therapies. And now that she's 13, not a big deal. She's still supposedly awake at like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. But when she was like 6-7, getting those morning therapies, she was actually fresh.
Right. It's probably the best time in the morning when you're fresh. And Lita has a dog as well. Tell us a little bit about that and how it's impacted you, Lita.
Jack, Shabby, and Bella is... I shouldn't have taught her how to sneak up on squirrels. Yeah, that was a mistake for the squirrels. Now that I look back on it, it was probably a stupid idea to teach the dog that was literally bred to hunt how to just be patient, sneak up on squirrels, and then tackle them. Yeah, she's killed squirrels afterwards. That was stupid of me.
Yeah, she's a danger to everyone. Well, except us. But everybody else.
And just Chubby. Jack just Chubby. He's just Chubby. He's just Chubby.
You can't see him, but he is sitting down here in the studio with us.
Oh, okay. Because I saw him last time, but I didn't see
him. Do you want to move the camera real quick and show him off? Because I'm usually like, don't move the camera while we're on. Just ignore the mess. Like everyone else.
I was going to really say, we all have mess. Don't worry about it.
There's a huge push for kids on the autism spectrum to have service dogs. Jack would never qualify as a service dog because he has his own anxiety issues. But they're really good at dealing with meltdowns. They're training now some of these service dogs to apply the pressure during meltdowns that, you know, the weighted vest and weighted jackets do. And they can help with, they seem to, in a lot of the papers I've read, give you a barrier between you and other human beings so that you can be more relaxed as you're trying to interact with them.
So it's been a nice positive influence on Lita, and you feel like it's something that maybe other parents should look into
She's had dogs all her life. These are younger dogs, but I will say maybe don't have an Anatolian Shepherd with your autistic child because we had an Anatolian.
Champ was great. Champ was amazing. He's dead.
Champ was overprotective.
So?
They are livestock guardian dogs. Pick the autistic kids and go, I need to protect you. You are a baby sheep.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I feel like they sort of are a great emotional connection and help to regulate when you need a friend just to cuddle with.
They do. But let's be honest, dogs, and I know a few people are trying with cats. They're really good. They give you that unconditional love, too, that you might not be getting from other people.
Other places, exactly. All right, so we're going to wind down here, and I guess I would love to end off with some sort of message that you might have for parents out there that are working through taking care of a child on the autism spectrum. What might that message be?
Your child is perfect. They are absolutely perfect. You have done nothing to cause this, no matter how many people are sending you stupid stuff off of Google. It was not that you fed them wrong. It was not that you gave them some medicine. It was not from vaccines. Your child just has a disability, and you are absolutely doing great. You are doing an amazing job. You know your child better than anyone else. You are their best advocate, no matter what anyone else says. And don't let other people continue judging you, because you are doing amazing.
And you guys are amazing. Thank you, Amanda and Lita, for joining me today. We touched on so many amazing topics, and I think everyone is really going to enjoy it. So thank you. And keep up the great work that you're doing in the autism community.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you. Feel good. Take care. Have a great one.
Bye.